good folk cried he, who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, two, only two, $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, but no, far back from the room, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody as pure and sweet as a carol an angel sings. Then the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, now what am I bid for the old violin? Held it up with the bow. $1,000. Who'll make it two? 2,000. Who'll make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone, cried he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, we do not understand. What changed its worth? Quick came the reply, why, the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. Mess of potty, glass of wine, game, and he travels on. Going once, going twice, going and almost gone, but the master comes. And the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Jesus Christ wants to come into your life tonight. He wants to touch your life. He wants to change your life. But you must respond to his invitation. If you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. Tonight I want to talk about a divine invitation. You might get a lot of invitations in life. You might get an invitation to a party, might get an invitation to go out for a meal, might get an invitation to go out on Mother's Day. you might get an invitation to do many things, but how would you like to get an invitation from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Well, tonight, there is a divine invitation for you and for me. Let me read it for you in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, just one verse for our text this evening, verse number 28. And the Lord Jesus himself says these words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This divine invitation starts with a simple word, come. I found it rather interesting that in our New Testament, that this word come has 39 variations in the Greek text. 39 variations of this one word, come. Let me give you some of those variations. It can mean come, come in, come into, come out, come through, come upon, come down, come forth, come near, come together, become, come up, come over, come against, come about. It's a broad word. Wouldn't you find it rather interesting that the variation that is used here is different from any other place in the New Testament? You see, the context is that Jesus is in a no-win situation. No matter what he does, they turn him down. No matter how he approaches, it's not right. He's already done his miracles, his mighty works, and places where it just ran off of them like water off a duck's back. And he says to this who might hear him in this invitation, the word come here means this. Now listen to this. Come in a different way than others. Well, many just wouldn't come. Many just mocked and scorned. But the Lord Jesus says, come. This is the divine invitation that he gives. Oh, I remember God giving an invitation way back in Genesis chapter 7. You might remember that. God says to Noah, come and thy house into the ark. Oh, dear friend, listen, that's very important. If I said to you, go into the kitchen, where am I? Well, I'm not in the kitchen. If I said to you, come into the kitchen, where am I? Well, I'm in the kitchen. I want you to come in with me. God didn't say, go into the ark. He said, Noah, come, and all thy house into the ark. You see, that ark represented the place of safety. that ark represented the place of deliverance. Oh, Noah may have worked on it for as much as 120 years, but let me tell you something. He had to make a decision that day. Would he accept that divine invitation from the Almighty or not? Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And the Bible is very clear. Noah went into that ark that day, and God closed the door behind him that day. And Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, eight people out of an entire world, were saved that day. Only eight. Only eight. Why? Because they heeded the divine invitation. And so we understand that he offers that today. The Lord Jesus is our ark of safety, and he himself says to you tonight, come. Oh, but not to an ark made of gopher wood, no. He says, come, I want you to notice the next words, come unto me. He did not say come to religion. He did not say come to church. He did not say come to ritual. He did not say come to a philosophy or join a club or come to ceremony or come to some organization. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me. There is explicit direction that is given. There was a story of a train that was making its way through a snowstorm in the western United States in the 1800s. There was a woman on that train that had a small child. She'd never been on that train or that route before. She was rather nervous about what station to get off at, and a gentleman saw that she was anxious, approached her and said, I've been on this train many times. I know all of the stations. If you'll tell me what station you want to get off at, I'll give you plenty of warning, and you can sit down and relax with your baby, and I'll tell you the station before the one that you need to get off, and you'll have lots of time. She said, thank you very much. The train plowed its way through that snowstorm that night, and when they got to the station before the one she was going to get off, he said to her, he said, now the next stop, ma'am, will be your station, and you can get ready for that. She said, thank you very much. The train went along, and finally it came to a stop. She went to the door. She tipped her hat at him, or he tipped his hat at her, and they smiled at one another, and she said, thank you very much. She stepped out of the train with her baby. The train went on. But it didn't go very far at all until it stopped again. And so the gentleman said to the coachman, he said, why are you stopping in between the stations? You shouldn't be stopping here. He said, oh, no, this is not in between the stations. He said, the last stop was in between the stations. He said, we had a problem with one of the brakes, and we had to stop for a moment. He explained the situation. He had given this woman wrong direction. She stepped off into the middle of nowhere in that snowstorm. By the time they got back to her, she and the baby both were frozen to death. What was it? It was the tragic result of what? Wrong direction. Dear friend, tonight you better be careful what you believe. You better be careful what you hear. You better check it out in the Word of God. Just because somebody writes a book, or because somebody's on television, or somebody's on radio, or somebody's preaching, and they say to you and they give you some direction, you better make sure it's the right direction. This is very serious. This is for all of eternity. Jesus Christ said, come. That's the divine invitation, and the explicit direction is this, come unto me. There's a link here. There's a vital touch that's going on here. We must come to him, the only person in the universe that can save you. The only person in the universe that loved enough to take your sin upon him. And he says to you tonight, come unto me. Well, let's see who can come. I want you to notice the description of those who can come. He says, come unto me. Who? All. Red or yellow, black or white. Makes no difference in his sight. The Bible is very clear. All have sinned. All have come short. All have gone astray. None righteous, no, not one. Who could respond to this invitation tonight? Come unto me all. It's a universal call. Whosoever will may come. But notice the categories that he mentions. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The ones laboring need to come. Who are the ones laboring? I was in a church service one morning. It wasn't the church that I would normally go to, but their pastor was gone, and they contacted me and said, look, we don't have a pastor. We need a fill-in. I said, well, I'm kind of a fill-in guy. I said, I'd fill in for you this morning. And so this church was not the kind of a church that would preach the gospel like I'm preaching it right now. And I went there. I don't know if I shocked them all or not, but I preached the gospel as best I could that morning. And as I walked out, there was an elderly lady. You say, now, how old is elderly? Well, let's say she's 114. Would that be okay? Elderly lady, she came up to me and she says, young man, that was a very nice sermon this morning. I said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I said, could I ask you a question? I said, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? She said, I've been teaching Sunday school for 47 years in this church. That was her answer, folks. She's laboring. She's laboring. She's working. She's hoping. She's trying to gain some sort of favor with God by the things that she's doing. There are people tonight that are laboring. They're working. They're doing all kind of things. They're doing all kind of religious things. They're going through the motions, and they're hoping that some way, somehow, that God would look down upon him and say, look, you've done enough. It's great. Don't labor anymore. I can accept you like it is. But the Bible is very clear. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy has he saved us. And dear folks, tonight, if you could get into heaven by being good enough, you and I would have an argument for all of eternity. Because I'd say, how'd you get here? I worked a lot harder than you did, you know. And there it would be, all in heaven, people comparing themselves with what other people did. You know, the truth of the matter is this, that those of us, by the grace of God, who get to heaven will never have that argument, because we will know that we didn't deserve it. And it was by the grace and the mercy and the redemption of the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone that we got there. We'll be humbled. We'll fall on our face and worship him, the one who has given himself for us that we might join his family by the grace of God and be with him forever. But not only the laboring, not only those who labor, but those who are self-righteous, they think that they've earned it somehow. But notice this. Those who are heavy laden. You say, well, who are they? They're the people who think they can never get saved. They're the people that would say to me, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know what you've done, but I know what I've done. And I know that I don't deserve it. You know, sometimes I give my testimony. People say, Brother Joe, you had a bad life. I said, I didn't tell you the half of it. I wouldn't even speak of it in public. I wouldn't even mention it. It's a shame to speak of those things. Listen, there are no sins too big for God to forgive. They're just people too big to ask him. And tonight, those who are laboring, who are trying to earn it, who are trying to some way gain merit with God, let me tell you, you need to lay your labors down tonight. I was in a meeting very similar to this, and after the meeting, a young couple, they're probably in their late teens, early 20s, they said, we'd like to talk to you about salvation. I said, great. This girl, who looked like an angel, said to me, she said, I've been so bad, God could never forgive me. You got to be bulletproof in this kind of work, you know, so you don't know what to expect. So I said to her, I said, you never killed anybody, did you? She said, well, I stabbed a man 3 times, but he didn't die. I said, oh, my. You never know who you're talking to. But let me tell you this. The God of mercy and grace, his long arm of salvation can reach down to you tonight. I don't know what you've done. I don't know how far you've gone. I don't know how wicked you've been. But let me tell you this. If you're heavy laden, if your burdens of sin are weighting you down tonight, there's rescue for you. There's a ransom for you. There's a God that loves you for you. And let me tell you tonight, He'd love to take that burden of sin from you. And so the invitation is, come where? Unto me, Jesus said, the only Son of God, the only way, the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus says, come to me, all those that are laboring and those that are heavy laden. And then I wanted you to notice the next word. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And then he says, and I, the Lord Jesus said, I'll take your case on personally. You know, in the Old Testament, many times we read it like this. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You see, he is the Lord of many, of thousands, of millions. But he's the God of one. Would you like for him to be your God tonight? Would you like for him to be your Savior tonight? Now, I want to clarify what I'm about to say, so nobody, I don't know anybody here now. I'm just shooting in a hole. You in a hole, I can't help it, okay? But if you're a professional person here tonight, sometimes professional people really get me upset. And I'll tell you why. You make an appointment with a professional. It might be your auto mechanic, it might be your hairdresser, it might be your dentist, might be your lawyer, might be your doctor. And so, you say, I've got an appointment. So on such a day, it's at such a time. Right. So you go to that, on that day, you go to the office, and you should know something right away, because as soon as you go into the office, there's one of those 30-cup coffee makers there. And that ought to tip you off right away, you know. But nevertheless, the secretary says, Mr. So-and-so's busy right now. He won't be too long. Right. So I'm sitting there drinking my 14th cup of coffee by now. And she comes back and she says, you know, Mr. So-and-so had to go to another appointment. You know, I said, how'd he get out of here? I've been sitting in the office. What do you got, an escape hatch somewhere for this guy? And she said, no, but his associate would be glad to handle your case. I don't want to talk to the associate. I don't want to talk to another mechanic. I don't want another hairdresser. I want the one that I made the appointment with. Let me tell you something. Jesus will never refer your case to anybody else. You know what he said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will handle your case personally. You have never met a person who loves you more than Jesus Christ. You have never met a person in the universe that has moved heaven and earth so that he could meet you on a personal basis. He gives that divine invitation to you tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I. Well, we're going to notice our next word. What will he do? Our next word says, I will. I will. That shows determination, doesn't it? That shows a promise, doesn't it? You know, the promises of God are not mottos to be hung on the wall. They're checks to be carried to the bank and cashed. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. The Lord Jesus said, you come unto me, and I will. If I said to you, look, it's 18 minutes after 7 right now, and I will be through at a certain time, you'd go, well, I've heard preachers promise it before. You know, you'd say, well, let me tell you something. If the Lord Jesus said, I will be through at a certain time, guess what? He will be through. The Lord Jesus means what he says, and he says what he means. You see, all power is given unto him. He spoke the world that we see into existence. He rules from heaven. He is the Almighty, the Sovereign God, and nothing happens on earth without His permission. And He says to you tonight, you come unto me, and I will. I will what, we might ask? Let's notice our text. The Lord Jesus promises this. I will give. I hope you like to get gifts. Most people do. I hope you'd like to get a gift from heaven tonight. You see, it's the best gift you could ever receive. The Bible puts it like this, the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. You work for a while, and you go to the paymaster, and you say, Charlie, give me my wages. I deserve it. I've earned them. Well, let me tell you, one day God pays all the sinners off, folks. And the wages of sin is death. And that's not just to be buried in the cemetery down here. That's eternal separation from God. That is not what you want. You know, some people say, I don't want God in my life. I've got my own religion. I've got my own philosophy. I've got my own way. Thank you very much. I'll go it alone. You want to go it alone? You don't want Jesus in your life? You don't want to do it God's way? God will make sure you don't have it for all of eternity. How about that deal? Eternal separation. The wages of sin is death, but listen to me, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, you only offend someone if you try to buy the gift they bring to you. Several years ago, I went hunting with two guys who were not Christians. The whole thing was planned. And I was supposed to, you know, see if I could talk to them about the Lord. Now, these guys wouldn't have been caught dead with a preacher. I'm going to tell you, they were bushwhackers. They were just the skeptics and critics and atheists, and they didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. But somehow I got hooked up with these guys, and we're hunting. And we're walking down through the woods, and one of them said to me, we're in my truck. They're riding with me. And one of them said to me, they said, what do you do anyhow? I said, I'm a preacher. I turned around. They were about 10 steps behind me. They were stopped dead in their tracks. I said, you wouldn't hold that against me, would you? What are they going to say? They don't even have a ride home, you know. And so anyhow, we went on that day. When I dropped the other guy off, the one guy said, come on in for a cup of coffee. So I went in. He said, you like guns? And I said, well, yeah, I like guns. He said, I have a gun collection. Would you like to see it? I said, I would. Well, we went down in the basement, and he showed me a gun collection. I want to tell you, folks, there must have been over 150 guns in that collection. Every kind, hunting guns, military guns, you name it. There was one gun in a glass case on the wall. And I said to him, you must have shot a big moose or deer or bear or something with that. And he could hardly talk. He said, my son shot himself in a hunting accident with that gun. So I'm sorry to hear that. So no more was said. We went upstairs. We had a cup of coffee. I'm trying to tell him about the gift of God. It is a gift. I said to him, I said, the Lord would like to give you the gift of eternal life. I said, it's free. He said, free. Anything that's free is cheap. He said, you see my house, you see my car, you see my, he had every toy in the world there. He said, I paid blankety blank good money for that. And he said, anything that's free is cheap and I don't want it. I said, fair enough. I said, that gun in the case in the basement, the glass case, I said, would you sell me that gun? He said, $1 million couldn't buy that gun. And then he said this. He said, I might could give it to somebody, but I could never sell it. I said, you know what? You've answered your own question. God won't sell his son. No. Some things are too precious. Some things are too dear. I said, God won't sell his son. You can't buy his son. But you could receive his son as a gift. And that's the divine invitation tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give. Our verse is not over. Give. Notice our next word, you. Give you. We ask ourselves the question, who is the you? Those that come. Those that come. You see, the ones who come by faith. That is, you accept the fact that you're the sinner. You accept the fact the Bible says he's the only Savior. You accept the fact that God loved you and gave his son, that he bled, he suffered, he died, and he rose again the third day. And you accept the fact that he did it for you, and you respond by faith to that invitation. You trust Christ. You say, how would I do that? Just trust him. You say, what do I say? You don't have to say anything. But in your heart, you have to admit that you're wrong. You're at war with God. You've sinned against a holy God. You've offended God. And you don't want to live like that anymore. And you want to be forgiven of your sins. And you want Christ to come into your life. That's who he promises the gift to. I will give you. What is the promise? What is the gift? I want you to notice the last word in our text. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what you want tonight. Rest from your laborings. Rest from your burdens. Rest from being at war with God. Rest for your soul tonight. And the only place you can get it is for the one who offers the invitation to you tonight. I can't offer you that invitation. I can't say, come to me. I couldn't do anything. You can't come. You listen, you can come to this church until the day you die. This church cannot save you. Your church cannot save you. There's only one person who has taken your sin on himself and paid the debt that you owe. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you listen to the invitation? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Life is like a giant jigsaw puzzle, folks. And your life is like that. People are desperately trying to put the pieces of life together. But let me say, in every life, there's a missing part of the puzzle. And his name is Jesus Christ. He asked you to come tonight. Would you do that? Would you come? Would you trust Christ as your Savior? I don't know any other invitation to give you but to trust Christ. Just in your heart right now. You don't have to walk the aisle. You don't have to bow your head. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't even have to say a prayer. But in your heart, you must be willing to humble yourself and to admit you're the sinner and reach out by faith and say, I want him to save me, the sinner, tonight. On the authority of this book and by personal experience, I'll tell you what will happen. Heaven will come down. You will never be the same. You'll be born into God's family. Your life can be turned into something beautiful. You'll have a reason to live, an abundant life to live. Guarantee of heaven. Could I say it kindly? You'd be a fool to turn this invitation down. To turn this invitation down tonight is to reject the love of God and to reject salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, let me tell you, you will remember this night unless you do it. You must trust Christ. He is your only hope. Why don't you come in your heart right now as we close in prayer? Lord, we ask you by your Spirit to do a work we cannot do. We're trusting that this very moment that someone will step over the threshold, will trust Christ, will respond to that invitation to come to him tonight, the only Savior of men. In his name, the Lord Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you.